I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky.
Today is Monday, October 12th, and you are listening to episode 18 of the Just Nerd Stuff podcast, where Jacob's happy thought is simply meeting Taylor Swift. My name is Corey.
Because we all know it's true.
It's so true.
My name is Corey. This is one of my co-hosts.
Hi, I'm Kurt.
And today's spoiler review is Pan, the latest on-screen adaptation of the classic story about a boy who would never grow up. Or is better known as Justin Bieber's role model. And last week on TV, it's all about the heroes. Except we're not going to talk about Arrow, we're just going to talk about Flash. But still, it's about the heroes.
I mean, we got so much, like, freaking hero stuff going on.
So much.
So much, like, all, like, well, and it's the best part about it, well, not the best, but it's mostly DC, which is weird.
Yeah.
But they're just knocking it out like crazy.
With the TV shows, at least.
Yeah, they are.
Not with the movies, unfortunately.
Which reminds me, I forgot to watch the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry, we'll watch that soon.
Well, yeah. I mean, we, like even you said, it wasn't that big of a thing to talk about.
I mean,
it's a good episode, but...
Yeah. Well, for the listeners, we were discussing our last week on TV segment, and we weren't really sure. Kurt and I disagreed on some things, and we talked it out, and we have yet to bring it up with Jacob, and he's not here, so we can't talk about it right now. But we were discussing how we might change up the segment. We're thinking of maybe focusing on just one show of the week instead of talking about all, like, more or less highlights of all the shows. Make it a little bit more streamlined, unless there's something we really want to talk about, such as today.
We got a couple.
We're going to talk about Flash mostly, but we do have something for Gotham we want to talk about, so we're just going to highlight that one thing. But I don't know. If any of you guys have ideas, drop us a line. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But as you are our listeners, we want to thank you today for downloading our podcast and listening to us. So, but before we get into anything else today, because we have a whole packed up show for you today, Kurt and I wanted to fit somewhere some recommendations for you guys. We were thinking it could be we have something else for that. So Kurt has a recommendation and I have a recommendation that we think you guys should check out. So Kurt, you go ahead first.
The other week, it just recently came out. It was leaked online and I happened to see it. So
as internet searchers as we are,
I mean, when you see a leak, you immediately go after it. Like, you have to.
Duh.
You got to know.
It's leaked. I got to know.
You got to know.
Except if it's the Star Wars 7 script. I don't want to know.
Yeah, no.
I don't even
want to know what the scroll is.
I remember I did that with Star Wars Episode 3 and I regret it.
It was so... It was a bad moment.
However, in that script, there was all the scenes that had nothing but politics. It was really stupid. So go ahead.
Yeah.
Continue.
This past week, there was a new show that was released for, I forget what channel it is. It's one of those channels you have to pay for.
It's like Hulu or...
Oh, it was on Crackle.
Crackle, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it was on Crackle. There's a show called Super Mansion. It was actually created by Seth Green and Bryan Cranston.
What an odd team up, but I love it.
It's in the style of Robot Chicken with, like, dolls and everything, but they're superheroes.
Yeah.
Honestly, okay, like, Bryan Cranston plays the main superhero called Titanium Rex.
Bryan Cranston would.
Titanium Rex is, like, in his late 60s, 70s, like, early 70s, and he's been a superhero for years, and he's kind of, like, out of his A game. But he has all the superpowers of, like, Superman. He's basically, like, an old Superman. And he's cranky and old. And there was, like, I still remember because the first trailer that I saw, he was like, oh, yeah, it's coming. We're going to do it. And then he, like, drops, like, one driplet when he's standing at a urinal. Like, he was so excited just to get something out. But, like...
Hancock meets Superman, basically.
It really is. And, like, they have another character called, like, Black Saturn. Yeah, Black Saturn, who's basically Batman. And there was this whole thing where this his arch nemesis is a clown, obviously. And he was trying to like say, so we're arch nemesises. And the guy's like, I have no qualms with you. And he's like, we hate each other. I hate you. I don't hate you. It's like, what? We've been fighting for years. I'm sorry. Who are you again? Like that kind of stuff. It's absolutely hilarious. If you get a chance to check it out, definitely do it. What did you have, Corey?
I actually found a small gem on Netflix. I was scrolling around. I was hungry, so I went and just got food, and I wanted to watch something while I was eating this food. So I randomly found a thing called Danger 5. This is hilarious. I'm going to throw this out there, though. The comedy style is not for everybody. Just saying, because I'm a fan of movies of Airplane, Naked Gun, you know, stupid humor. This is brilliant. Well, I'm just throwing this out there.
Even Airplane isn't really family-friendly.
It's not, but it's the stupid humor. That's what I'm focusing
okay.
on. The reason this show is brilliant, it has, I think it's two seasons, and they're only like 7 episodes a season. But the show is a parody of the way shows in the 60s were filmed. So it's filmed exactly the way the original Star Trek would be filmed. Same camera angles, same...
Oh, God.
The audio is always slightly out of sync. That's one big funny thing. But it's also a parody of the way that they had things set up. See, this is a team of 5 people that are in World War II, and they're supposed to take down Hitler. And the mission... Every episode is the same mission. It's a different mission, but at the end of the mission log, it's always, and as always, kill Hitler. It's the same thing.
Wait, what?
But you know how like it's like
it's basically Valkyrie.
I mean, well, okay, think of it like a Charlie's Angels team.
Okay.
They're given their mission, they go to the mission. Think of it like that.
Yeah.
But their boss is this man with a huge eagle head, and the eagle head talks. He's like, all right, Danger 5, your mission today is this. And it's the most ridiculous plot lines you've ever seen in your life. The second episode was about reptiles of the Third Reich. And these are men, Nazi men with reptile heads.
Oh, my God.
It's the funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
Well, that's actually just like one of the characters from Superman. There's a character called American Ranger who's basically Captain America.
Yeah.
He dresses okay. He looks like Captain America, except for he has a bald eagle mask head. Mm-hmm. He has a bald eagle over his head, and like he woke up like years later into today's time, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I was married before it all happened." And it's like, really? Oh man, what does your wife look like? And he shows a picture of this like really hot babe, and he's like, "Yeah, that's her." And it's like, "Oh man, she's great." And he goes, "Yeah, that was before I went to sleep." And it's like, well, "What does she look like now?" And then they show a picture, and it's like, "Oh God, what happened?"
Like, there's two things I want to point out just to get the style of the comedy. Also, the way that they make like if they're showing ships flying in this show, they have them hanging on strings.
Oh God!
Yeah, that's the way they film. But one of my favorite running jokes they have on the show. I've only watched 2 episodes, but I can already tell it's a running joke. There's this one character in the group that he makes drinks whenever they're back at the base. So he's always making a mixed drink.
Oh God!
All right. Every time somebody in the mission dies around him, whether it be a random person, if they're dying around him, he's holding. They're like, oh no, and they go, one gin, at mixed triple sec, add orange juice. The perfect Captain America. They all tell him a mixed drink when he dies. It's ridiculous. Like I said, stupid funny. But if you like stupid funny, check it out. Let me know what you think because it's hilarious. So Kurt, I think we know what we want to get into now.
Look, it's a thing. Ladies and gentlemen, the Battlefront beta was released on the PlayStation Network this past weekend.
Oh my God. It's so pretty.
Honestly, I maxed out my level in one night.
Kurt, it's so pretty.
I know, it's so pretty.
I remember, like, okay, I didn't get to play it all weekend, and I just finally got to play it yesterday. I'm happy I did. I mean, I was busy. I had things to do. I had a life. But I'm like, all right, now I have some time. I can sit down and play it. It's so pretty.
Okay, like the very first thing I did when I started, I was like, okay, I know I want to get into the multiplayer, but I should probably do survival, like the single player by myself for a moment, just to get the feel. Uh-huh. and the survival is on Tatooine, and you have to fight waves of Imperials, and then you fight an AT-ST later on.
Picture Nazi zombies in Call of Duty.
It's, oh God, it's so amazing.
Ugh.
And then, not only that, then you get into a fight style called Drop Zone, where you have to go to these pods, and it's on the planet of Sullust.
And which, that's pretty.
Oh geez.
I know when we do a review, all I'm ever going to say is it looks so pretty.
It looks, okay, it's seamless.
It's so like, realistic looking.
It feels like you're in Star Wars.
People, if you've watched YouTube videos of the gameplay, that doesn't even do it justice.
No.
I mean, it's fantastic on YouTube, but it looks beautiful.
Just play the beta. Play it.
Hopefully they didn't take it down.
It's free. Well, I think they're taking it down today for the PlayStation Network, but Xbox, at the Xbox One, they released it for Xbox Live.
Okay.
So you could play it on the Xbox Live, not the 360.
I need
just the Xbox One.
I need an Xbox now. I must keep playing.
You must keep playing. But I think they are dropping it today for the network, or the PlayStation Network.
That's all right. But still.
Honestly, it was so beautiful. Like, every single moment, you literally felt like you were in a Star Wars. You were in Star Wars.
Yes.
Like, you play as either the Rebels or the Imperials on Drop Zone. You have to go to these pods. They drop down. It's kind of like King of the Hill. You go up there. You got to protect it. Whether you're protecting it and the other team is trying to take it.
Yeah.
And then once they take it, it's reversed. You got to defend, attack.
So you explain the game modes.
Yeah.
We explain basically the graphics are just pinpoint accurate. I mean, it's not so much that it's like there's a lot of things going on. It's just you're immersed in the world. Like the Sullust world is basically just a bunch of rocks. Yes, let's admit it.
It's a rock planet.
There's not a whole lot going on, but that does not mean that it does not look seamless and real.
Exactly.
And I believe I'm in the battle. The way the stormtroopers walk around, it never really looks the same twice, at least from what I could tell. As first impressions go.
It is so amazing. And plus, the fact the third mission you can do in the beta. You can do the Walker Assault on Hoth.
Yeah, the episode 5 story.
You are in episode 5.
Which is funny because we've had that same battle in multiple games. Rogue Squadron, Rogue Leader, all of them.
Even the Battlefronts.
And Battlefront. And you know, it's nothing new.
Yeah.
But it's such an immersive experience. I can't even really explain what it is exactly. But you're in it. You feel the tension in the area. You feel
like
you could die at any second, and you're actually legitimately scared. It takes you away from the fact that you are playing a game and you are in the world.
I mean, there are some things like let's say the drop shield, like the drop shield that you put down. It's the shield that you see in episode 1 with the Gungans. I wasn't too happy about it that you can have it in every battle. Like, you can just have it. It doesn't really make sense.
Maybe that is just for the beta. They want you to try it out. But
then again, if they still have it in the main game, I mean, I'm not that happy about it. But you still have to think about it. It's their world. They're doing what they want. It's
right.
Not. We're not playing the actual story of Star Wars. We're playing Battlefront. And Battlefront, you can pretty much do anything.
Yep.
It's whatever you want.
This game actually, it's not only about the game, but to me, the way that they're portraying the war zone feel makes me really happy for Rogue One to come out.
Yes.
Because they have explained already that Rogue One is going to be Star Wars feel, but they want to have a grittier, dark war zone tone. And I'm perfectly fine with that after seeing the results of this game. It's like, I feel the fight. I feel
exactly.
The threat of the battle. And this game is relentless.
Okay,
does not let up. You go in, and if you're going to die and keep dying, then you're never going to learn. You have to train.
It feels like Battlefield, where it doesn't. You can't just jump in and expect to be doing good. You're playing against other people who have been playing for a while, so they're already more experienced than you.
Yes.
And they are not going to hold back. I remember playing one battle. Now, here's another thing. You can literally go from ground battle to grabbing a power-up that will let you fly a TIE fighter or an X-Wing or an A-Wing. You can grab an AT-ST. You can literally drive the AT-ATs.
Yeah, that's
cool. Not only that, they did bring in the heroes. You can play as Luke Skywalker. You can play as Darth Vader. And that's just for the Hoth battle. They also released other heroes that you can play as in other modes.
You can be Han Solo. You can be Boba Fett. Those are just a couple others.
Yeah, just a few. But they haven't released them all yet either. Yeah. So we're still wondering what we can also do. But and the blend where you go from on the ground to in a spaceship, it's so... Ah, God, it's just amazing. Like, okay. All I can say about this game is it's amazing.
That's, I think actually that's the one critical thing I'm missing from the old Battlefront games is that when you got into a ship, granted, it's not seamless when you got into the old games.
Like you actually get in, you literally take off and fly up.
Right. I mean, you don't see your character actually go up and get into the ship, which I wish that would have been in the old games.
Yeah.
But even that's missing from the new one. And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's a little bit of a... In my opinion, as a first initial thought, that's kind of a misstep. I really want that feel of being in there and cutting away from that. I don't know. It kind of takes me away a little bit, but it's not a huge complaint. It's just, I get it, mechanics and whatnot. But I mean,
it would be
kind
of cool that you could run up to one of the X-Wings, get in it, and then take off and fly up.
Yeah.
Like, you would like that more than just you grab the power up, you use it, and then all of a sudden you're already in the X-Wing flying.
Yeah.
And then it just brings you right into it.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it is a little sad that you can't do that like you could in the old ones, but I'm still okay with it. I really am.
I'm pretty much blown away with the first initial thoughts here because the sounds are reminiscent of the old movies.
The lock-on
is exactly like the targeting computer in Episode 4. Dear Lord, oh my God.
Yes.
Zombie, oh my God. That is... Guys, listeners...
It's like the mechanics, they're seamless. I keep telling myself one thing. This is just the beta.
Yeah.
They're not just done. The beta. They still have a lot of work to do. They just have a lot of detailing to do.
Yeah, it's
and it already
has
looks
kinks.
Amazing.
It has its kinks, but they are clearly doing everything they can to make this an immersive experience and give the fans what they want. I'm a little... It's funny, because as much as I give hate to the prequels every so often, you know me, I still love them for what they are, but they're bad. But I am missing playing the prequel planets.
Yeah, true.
I am missing that a little bit. It's not that I didn't like fighting droids. I mean, the droids are kind of stupid, but at the same time, it is what it is in the Star Wars universe, so I like playing that.
Yeah, and plus, one of my personal favorites was from Star Wars Battlefront 1, where you could fight on Bespin, on the Cloud City, and on the platforms. I always loved that map. Just a personal favorite, but...
Well, maybe they'll have that back. I mean, that's original trilogy. They're focusing on original trilogy with this. And it makes perfect sense, too, that they'd focus that way, because the new movies claims that it's going to have the original trilogy feel. They want to get everybody prepped.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense to me.
It does.
They want you to kind of forget the way the tone was in the prequels, and I don't blame them.
Yeah. I mean... And I will say this, like we were saying, how people are ruthless in this game. And they, trust me, they really are. Like, I still remember I was on Hoth and I was running. And then I saw a Jedi power up. I was like, oh my God, I could be Luke. So I'm like running right toward it. I'm about to grab it. Someone used a jump pack, a jet pack, flew right into it and grabbed it right in front of me. I'm like, are you kidding me? You a-hole. You suck, sir. But
you know what? We're going to have to create, like, random words that we can say on the podcast so that way we don't swear.
Yeah, well,
I might just do a list like that. Like, remember how in the show Recess, TJ always said, this womps. Like, let's just, like,
we'll make
a whole list. We'll figure it out.
Something. But yes, Star Wars Battlefront beta. Play it. If you haven't, you're
missing out, people.
Yeah.
So don't worry, we're going to have one heck of a review for you coming up in the next month.
Oh, jeez.
I cannot.
I'm going to go nuts on that game.
You and me both.
Nuts.
I don't even like paying for online service, and I went and did it because I knew I'd be playing this.
Because you're going to be playing it.
And now I know for sure I'm playing this for months.
I still remember you came over to my house, though. You came over, and you
sat, and my
face... No, you came over, and you're like, man, I know I got to play Battlefront. And I'm like, Corey, this needs to take precedence. And you're like, no, I don't know.
Well, I'm like, we got things to do.
And then you're like about to leave, and I'm like, Corey, sit down. I am going to play it for you. And you are going to watch why it needs to take precedence.
And I had frozen O-face.
You literally ate your words.
I had frozen O-face.
Yes. But yes, play it.
Play it.
Download it. Freaking pre-order it, get it, just okay.
All right, let's get into Last Week on TV. So for Last Week on TV, we were going to talk about not only Flash, but Arrow. But since Jacob's not here, we're just going to omit Arrow this week. So since Kurt is now caught up with Flash, and he's now caught up with Gotham, so he doesn't have to wear the headphones this time.
Yay!
I bet he's looking forward to
that. Don't worry, I'll be caught up on Arrow by the end of this week, so that way we could talk about it then.
Yes, that's fine. So yeah. Let's get into Flash. It just started up season 2, where we left everybody. Oh, I'm sorry. Kurt's...
I have to take this moment. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a happy camper.
Yeah, he had a good week.
This week has been great to me. Not only did I get on Gotham the Joker, I got on Flash. Yes, you're going to have to actually bleep this.
Okay.
Motherfucking Jay Garrick!
And we're all very happy for you.
I'm sorry. I really had to. Like, it's just freaking Jay Garrick.
Yeah.
My favorite character of all superheroes of all time. It's Jay Garrick. The Flash from the Justice Society.
And just to be clear, everybody, Jay Garrick only shows up at the end of the episode briefly.
I don't even care. The fact that it was him. That just... It makes me... I don't know.
It gives you an orgasm that that no woman could ever satisfy for you.
Yes.
Wow, I got it accurate.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. So okay, I know you want to talk about it. So we'll get into the whole episode here. So basically, we're going to go down the different themes that they had in the first episode. So it opens actually kind of what I didn't expect. I was expecting with the cliffhanger that they had at the end of season 1, we were going to have some kind of, like he'd be teleported to another dimension. Because of the fact that they were announcing Jay Garrick was in the new season, I'm like, wait a minute, so that means he's being teleported. And then it starts very odd.
Okay.
Where,
Well, yeah, because I was, sorry to interrupt, but
go ahead.
I was taken aback when it started because I was expecting they were going to throw you right into it while he's, like, trying to run around the freaking singularity.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wait, what, everything's okay? I'm like, I'm so confused right now.
Yeah, it's strange.
It just kind of, like, it starts you off after it already happened, and then it catches you up. I actually liked it, though.
I it's strange, and it throws you off. That doesn't mean it doesn't work.
Exactly.
It works, but
it makes you go, like, what? And then you keep watching because you want to know what happened.
Right.
You're like, wait, are they just going to ignore it?
It's a typical trope in TV seasons.
Yeah.
We know that. So, of course, this is another one of the classic hero blames himself for his friend's death story. It's obligatory in every superhero story there is.
How many times did Ronnie die now?
I don't know.
I think they're
this is like
twice.
Three?
Two, twice, two, three twice or three.
Which, it's silly.
You
that,
assume he's dead for the third time, I think.
And see, that's another issue that I'm having with this season. Not that it's a huge problem, but it's a nitpick. That it's not only in this, but in Arrow as well, a character dies. I'm not ruining it for Kurt. But a character dies in that we know will be in Legends of Tomorrow.
Better not be Diggle. Sorry.
I know. Everybody loves the dig.
Everybody loves the dig.
Big black man. Everybody loves the dig. Somebody else died in Arrow that will be in Legends of Tomorrow. And Ronnie, we know, will be in Legends of Tomorrow. So it already cancels out the emotional pull that it has for the audience. That is, if they know about Legends of Tomorrow, which if you're not a DC fan and you're not watching TV shows, you're not catching up, then that's your own fault. But... It takes away the emotional impact of having the death. That's the same way it is in Doctor Who when characters die. We know they'll be back.
Exactly.
So there's no emotional pull. You know?
Especially when they do it all that sudden-like.
Yeah.
They didn't have a real death scene. Because when there's no death scene, you're like, oh, they're going to come back.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Like, most times, when you see a death scene, you know it's official.
Right.
They're gone.
I know you liked... you wanted to bring up... Before, when they announced that Adam Smasher was going to be played by Adam Edge Copeland, You wanted to bring that up. Did you have something else to add to that? Because I really have nothing to add to that except that I actually found it wasn't bad. It was exactly what it was meant to be, his performance.
Well, I knew
in the show.
I was a huge fan of the Atom Smasher. I didn't know about the guy. Like, I didn't know much about him.
You were more excited about the character.
Exactly. Okay. Because the Atom Smasher versus Flash in some of the comics are nuts. I mean, he like pretty much breaks his face.
Were you
times.
Okay with it being a one-off the way it was?
Yeah, I mean, I wish they would have built on it a little more, but I mean, the fact that it just showed up, I was at least happy about that.
And
honestly, they got the suit really good. Like, it was decent. Actually pretty decent.
Looked really good.
It was pretty spot on.
So in the episode, we also reveal that Professor Zoom was behind him. Wherever he said he was going to take him home, and Kurt's confused because.
Okay, yeah. For those of you who don't know, Eobard Thawne, the character who was Dr. Wells in the first season, Eobard Thawne is known as the Reverse Flash. For those of you who are not caught up, the Reverse Flash is Professor Zoom. Mm-hmm. Eobard Thawne is Professor Zoom. I am so confused because are they trying to make them two different people, which would be so freaking stupid?
But it could work in this. This is what I'm telling Kurt. It could work because
the Flashpoint paradox.
They're introducing a multiverse, especially with Jay Garrick showing up. So it's telling me maybe in another universe it is one person.
Yeah.
Because they even signed on whatever his name is, the actor who plays Professor Wells. He's going to be around this season, but they didn't state if it was Harrison Wells or not.
I think he's just going to be actual Eobard Thawne, and in the current universe that we know of as the Flash TV CW TV series, is Eobard Thawne is Reverse Flash, but the other one is Eobard Thawne as Professor Zoom, which I will be so happy if they finally just give him the right name. I'm tired of people calling him Reverse Flash. I'm just tired of it.
I know.
Because his real name is Professor Zoom.
You have to get used to pop culture. That's the way they are.
It's annoying.
So we'll move on here because we got a lot still to talk about. So we add on that Harrison Wells freely admits that he killed Nora Allen and his dad is released.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a happy solution for the season one, yes.
Yeah.
It looks to me like they're trying to clear up all the plot lines from the first season, and they're trying to move on with the second season, which is fine. And it makes me realize that this first episode could actually have been just as decent as an ending to season one as it is an opener to the new one. Because imagine Jay Garrick showing up. No one knew Jay Garrick was going to be in it. Can you imagine that being the cliffhanger for season one?
Dude,
Kurt, you'd be suffering.
I would have died.
You would have died, and you would have come back to life the moment it comes back on. Like, I can't. Nothing else
matters. I would have died for a year, and then came back on once the next episode aired.
Yeah. All right. So we still have a lot to talk about, but I'd be amiss if we didn't at least briefly talk about the Gotham episode 3 ending, where spoiler, sorry everybody, Jerome, who AKA this show's version of Joker. Died, which was a shock. It was a shock to me because I didn't expect the show to go this way, but I'm glad they did. And it's odd because everybody on Facebook's going, you can't kill off the Joker, and this is still great. You can't do it.
Now, this is what we talked about, Corey.
Yes.
I even said it like once Corey wanted to bring it up to me because as we've clearly established a couple times in the past episodes, I am one of the most biggest Joker fans in the world, I am okay with it. Because of one fact, they never said Jerome was the Joker.
Right, they didn't.
They never said it. You assume he is. Mm-hmm. You just assume. And because the fact is, the new Joker that we know of, even though he's not the Red Hood, like from the old comics, the new story of the Joker, he has no backstory. That's the whole point of the Joker. He is an ideal. He is an agent of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
He is an essence of pure psychosis.
Evil.
Sorry. But no, he is the essence of anarchy and chaos.
Yeah.
And it is basically an ideal. And when he died and you see how these other people are laughing and killing people, I'm like, I like it.
Yeah.
I actually liked it because it didn't clearly state he's the Joker. Maybe he was just the Joker's switch.
The role, yeah, could be the role model.
Exactly. Maybe he was the role model for what we know as the Joker. Yeah.
And they said before they even started Gotham, they were asking, what are you going to do with Joker? And they said they were going to play it out that it could be a multitude of different people that could end up being the Joker. And they never really quite clearly gave their plan for that. And it looks like that's what this plan is. They've even teased that they said they have thought about a female Joker as well. So maybe we will see a female Joker coming up soon. For all we know, it could end up being Barbara eventually. We don't know.
No.
But it's a possibility because remember, like we both agree, the Joker is an ideal. I never liked the fact that if this was the Joker, he was given a backstory. But I went with it because that's what the show does. But I'd rather see the Joker as an ideal. And if they're going to play around with that, I think it's a right move. I think it's a good decision. It's just going to suck because we won't see Cameron Monaghan anymore.
Okay. Another thing, since I did catch up on all of Gotham, I just want to mention like small little things, nitpicking of the past season and the current episodes.
Nitpicks with okay. Kurt.
One, Sarah Essen dying.
Yes.
Okay. In case you didn't know this, Sarah Essen, the character in comics, is Gordon's second wife.
Okay.
I wasn't okay with her dying. I wasn't okay with it. Well, I wasn't happy about it. Because I was expecting maybe that he would get married to her later, but...
That'd be strange.
Why would it be strange?
Because I didn't feel any of that. There was no tension.
Well, yeah, but like...
It was this universe.
Well, yeah, it's whatever. Okay, number two. Okay, in the episode where we first meet Jerome, we also got to see the Flying Graysons.
That was kind of...
Oh, yeah. That was amazing.
It was nice.
And I love how both characters came from the same circus...
Yeah.
The Flying Graysons and this Joker-esque character.
Right.
I will not say he's the Joker. He is a Joker-esque character.
Yes.
They came from the same circus, and I love... Okay, that kid just killed it. Mm-hmm. Okay, just the scene when you first meet him, I was like, wow!
Yeah.
I was like, dang!
Damn, boy! You're a good actor.
Jeez. Like, I was like, wow. He pulls it off. For a kid. But anyway.
Anything else?
And the Red Hood. I already told you about that. How like they tried to lead it up. This little kid picking up the hood at the end. I was just like, if they're trying to make you think that's Jason Todd, they are wrong. Because yeah. Jason Todd is younger than Batman. But you can clearly see that kid in the episode was older than the kid who plays Batman. Right. So just saying. Little nitpicks I didn't like, but... And another thing I still want to see,
okay.
And one last thing that I still want to see
what?
And hope they do in Gotham is for Penguin's monocle
yes.
using the bottle.
I really hope they do that.
That they did in Arkham City. In Arkham City and Arkham Knight.
That works so much better.
If they literally, like, say someone wants to get revenge on Penguin, just take a glass bottle, break it, and shove it in his eye, that'll be the... It's a Gotham thing to do.
Right.
Like, this show is that kind of style,
yeah.
And I feel like they will do it. I mean, hell, Fish Mooney freaking gouged her eye out. They might as well just freaking do it. And do it! Just do it! Okay. I'm done, so...
He said his piece.
That was it for last week on TV.
We just got so much, Kurt. Let's get into the news!
I know, sorry.
Let's get to the news.
Let's do it.
So Microsoft had a big press conference, and they are taking the HoloLens headset on a North American tour spanning 11 cities, and it's in an effort to entice developers into purchasing one of their, here, get ready for this, $3,000 developers edition kits, which will be available early next year.
Is that how much it's going to be selling for?
For the developer
kits. Oh, okay. Thank God.
It could lower. I'm sure they're going to try to find a way to lower the price to give it for the public because the public needs to be able to afford it.
$3,000 for a HoloLens, though. If they actually do that, I will be very disappointed in Microsoft.
Yeah, anyway.
But did you watch that video I sent you?
Yes, you did.
Oh,
yes,
man.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Corey actually thought the HoloLens would only be good for something like Minecraft.
Just to be clear, though, I have said. And I, you can go back and you can listen. I have stated if it was just going to be for what gaming Minecraft is, that's fine if you want to buy it for that. But other than that, I'd have to see more in order for me to want to purchase it. And this is more.
There was a video that was released where this guy was using a HoloLens on a stage, and he was fighting robots that were like bursting out of the walls.
That's cool.
And he had a laser gun on his arm and he was shooting them. I thought it was one of the coolest freaking things I ever saw, because you know why?
Why?
Like I said before.
Yeah.
When the HoloLens was announced, there's one thing I want to see.
Uh-huh.
You throw it on, you can walk outside and fight Terminators.
How cool would that be?
I know, dude. They can do it.
Star Wars related, play a game of DeJarek.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
That. Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that? We're sitting at a circular table. Imagine it lay out on the circular table, dude, and we play it.
Man, we can play the chess game. The circular chessboard in episode 4?
That's what I'm saying. DeJarek.
Oh.
You didn't know that's what it's called?
No, I thought DeJarek was that card game that's in like Star Wars The Old Republic and Battlefront. Or, I mean, Knights of the Old Republic.
Kurt.
Oh, I thought it was that card game. Oh, my God. That's DeJarek.
You need to go outside and give yourself 40 lashes. Right now. We're pausing the podcast. Go. Oh, poor Kurt. He's so upset. He'll do it afterward. We got to keep going.
I have failed the Star Wars fan community.
So let's get into a couple other announcements about actors. Paul Reubens, who's best known as Pee-wee Herman, is going to be appearing as, get ready for this, Penguin's father in TV series Gotham, which Kurt did show me. But also, a little known fact, he already did play Penguin's father, Tucker Cobblepot, in Batman Returns. I didn't even recognize that was him.
I didn't know it either.
Isn't that crazy?
That's nuts.
But it definitely fits. They have a very similar look to each other.
It was just the other night. I came in the room and I was like, Corey, guess who they got for Penguin's father? And you're like, huh? And I'm like, you're never gonna get it.
So apparently Bryan Cranston has stated that, he quoted this. He said, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to be some big superhero villain in a Marvel classic. He said he has no plans on being a long-standing Marvel villain, but he'd rather be one of those one-off kind of villains in a like kind of like Ronan and Guardians.
Yes.
He's brilliant. Okay, I'm going to pitch it. I'm going to ask you, Kurt, which one do you think he could play, and I'm ready to say it. Let's go for the biggie. Galactus. I'm saying it. I want it to be Galactus. Why are you giving me that look? You don't think Bryan Cranston could play Galactus?
No.
Why not?
He doesn't have the mentality, the kind of personality type that Galactus is.
That's why it's called acting.
I've just never seen him act like that. Honestly, he could play a good human villain in a TV show or a movie. He could. He could easily pull something off.
I want my Bryan Cranston as a big villain.
Let me think. Okay. One...
You think about that. I got a piece of news for you anyway.
Okay, go ahead while I think.
So we all know that Batman the Killing Joke is coming out as an animated movie, and it has been shown interest that Mark Hamill and both Kevin Conroy, both of them are going to be in it.
Now all we need is Tara Strong.
All we need is Tara Strong, yes. But here's the thing. So apparently at the New York Comic Con Batman Bad Blood panel, it has been given word that not only will James Tucker direct, and I'm not exactly sure that it is, but DC Comics actually gave them permission to make the movie rated R.
We're going to get the crowbar scene.
We're going to get everything.
We are going to get the actual spine-chilling moment. Or wait, not the crowbar scene. What am I talking about?
You're talking about shooting Batgirl in the back.
Yes.
And stripping her naked.
Stripping her naked, taking the pictures, and actually showing them to Jim Gordon in the Tunnel of Love.
Yes. We could. It seems that he hasn't given 100% confirmation that he will make a rated R, but they have given permission to do it. So we could be getting a rated R Batman Killing Joke. Kurt's eyes have widened.
This is the best week ever.
Best week ever!
Seriously, like, I am so happy.
This is an unusual feeling for him. He's usually at home playing games in despair and...
I don't know how I feel like it.
I'm on top of the world.
I can see colors. So did you know Darth Vader's lightsaber is red?
Yeah. So let's keep going on. We were also given to announce the Marvel Phase 3 list of movies coming up. So we have, in this order, for 2016, we got, of course, we know, Civil War and Doctor Strange. In 2017, we have now we're going on to the three movies, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in May, the Spider-Man solo film in July, and then Thor Ragnarok in November. Then you go on to 2018. Whew, there's a lot of movies. Black Panther in February. Then we get Avengers Infinity War Part 1 in May. We get Ant-Man and the Wasp in July. Then 2019, which is the biggie, Captain Marvel, March of 2019, and then Avengers Infinity War Part 2 in May. Now, there's the last one, which is Inhumans, in July 2019. There's rumor that that movie might be canceled because the Inhumans are such a presence on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that people might not have the interest to go see the movie. I don't know how you feel about that, Kurt, but at the same time, there's a rumor for the Inhumans movie that Vin Diesel might be cast as Black Bolt of the Inhumans.
He's going to play two characters. They're pulling a Chris Evans again.
But think about this. He has the voice of Groot, but in the Inhumans, Black Bolt is silent. So he's just the presence, so it works.
Okay.
But there were also three movies announced for May, July, and November of 2020, but there are no titles yet. Leave open for speculation. I think there could be a Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I could see a Doctor Strange 2 on the horizon. I see people liking Doctor Strange enough to do that. Possible Ant-Man 3, but I'd rather see Ant-Man just stick to a one and a sequel.
Mandarin.
You want Mandarin to come back? Well, just the Mandarin as a movie?
Bryan Cranston as the Mandarin.
Oh, yeah. High five.
There you go.
That's right.
I had to really think about it. I mean, obviously, I've been thinking about it this entire time. Bryan Cranston could pull off the Mandarin.
I could totally
see that. The real Mandarin.
Yes, I could see that.
Okay, but anyway.
That's all of our news. So that's all the movies we have.
Yeah.
So let's get into the review. I know we're really not.
We're really running out of time.
Yeah, we're going to.
We took up way too much.
All right, let's get into it. Pan.
Extraordinary. More than you can imagine. I promise that you will see me again in this world.
This is the beginning.
Or another.
So growing up, our film that was Peter Pan was Hook. Robin Williams and I just lost the name. Who played Hook?
I'm not even gonna remind you.
Don't even do that to me. You gotta help me out. The name just escaped my mind.
Rufio.
Yeah.
Rufio.
I know. I can picture him in my brain. The name is gone. I'm sorry. All right. We're moving on. So let's get into the film review of this because I have not seen the original Peter Pan movie of the 2003 live action. I didn't see that.
Neither have I.
It wasn't no interest. This had a little more interest to me. It looked a little bit more Peter Pan-esque, but
we did see that play though, which was not bad.
Oh, the NBC live. Yeah, that was okay.
Christopher Walken. Sorry, Christopher Walken as Hulk.
Peter Pan.
Hulk.
I kill you, Hulk.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Christopher Walken as the Hulk.
I am on an adjusted schedule. I am tired. Sorry.
So out of five, what did you give Pan, Kurt?
Three. It was okay. I'll give it a 3.5. I mean, it was good.
Really?
It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
But I don't really have much to say other than that. I mean, granted, we're on a time schedule right now on it, and honestly, I can't really think of many things to say about it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just fun. Like, it had good moments, but it wasn't... Well, I'll give it a 3.
I'm going a 2.5. I think it's not a bad 2.5. I mean, for what it is exactly what it set out to be. I was expecting maybe a little bit more from it, but it's pretty much what I expected. It was going to be fun. It was just going to be enjoyable as a kid's movie. exactly what it was. It was a little bit more faithful to the storyline of Peter Pan, and they gave it a little bit more of a, I guess, like a twist of a origin story. Because here's another origin story that we didn't ask for, didn't want, and we got it anyway.
Actually, I'm going to change my vote to 2.5 because of one thing, Blackbeard.
Blackbeard, yeah. Sorry, Hugh Jackman.
Well, no, it's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
No, it's the fact that they put Blackbeard in it. They could have created any character. They could have came up with just a random character.
Yeah.
But no, they had to choose Blackbeard. And I know the real story of Blackbeard. He was basically a Robin Hood of his age. You don't believe me? Go look it up. But anyway, I just didn't like the fact that it was Blackbeard. I just did not like it.
Even for me, it was kind of a strange choice. So we have the cast. Hugh Jackman was Blackbeard. We had Garrett Hedlund as Hook. We had Rooney Mara as Tiger Lily, and then Peter Pan was played by Levi Miller. So I think we have things to say about the acting. Rooney Mara, I had no problem with as Tiger Lily. No problems.
No.
I love Rooney Mara. I think she's a very attractive woman.
She did a good job.
And she was probably the most decent in the entire film.
And she really didn't have any emotions, really.
No,
when you really watch her.
I think that was the point and the message across, is that she was very neutral to most of it, but she wanted to help, you know, fix Neverland.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down the list from good to bad. I actually think the kid who played Peter Pan was probably the second best.
He did a good job.
He actually was really decent. I was convinced enough. I mean, he was still a kid actor, you know, you can only do so much, but for what he did, I was pretty convinced, and there were some moments where I'm like, yeah, this kid's not bad. I'm going to say, actually, surprising as I'm going to say this, Hugh Jackman, I thought, was third on this list, and I think it's just because of the way it was toned. This Blackbeard was very odd. Like, at one point, he had, he was announcing to the crowd, and he got out, like, hand sanitizer?
Yeah.
It was a very odd character
And that was the
choice.
Only time he did it.
Only time. You'd think that would have been
randomly, all of a sudden he poured hand sanitizer into his hands and he was just going.
I would have been okay with that if that would have continued as a running joke, but it wasn't. It was just the one time. And I said, what an odd character trope to have for this Blackbeard, this version of this evil pirate.
He went from like crazy to calm, really back and forth.
Yeah. I mean, I always give credit to Hugh Jackman because he is a very good actor and he works with what he's got. But in the directorial style of Joe Wright, it was very strange. It was very weird, and I didn't like it. And I hate saying this, but the worst actor in the movie was Garrett Hedlund.
Oh, God.
I did not like his Hook at all.
He tried to be Han Solo.
You know what I saw him as? He spoke exactly the same way that Bones McCoy spoke in the original Star Trek movie, 2009.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize that until now. You're right.
It's Bones McCoy. Peter Pan, what are you doing?
We need to get out of here.
He was trying to be so dash and debonair, and it did not work.
Just no.
I would have even been okay if it was just himself, Garrett Hedlund himself, acting the way he did in Tron Legacy. I would have been okay with that because it would have felt more natural. He was trying so hard at being this
really debonair guy. He was trying to be Han Solo.
Yeah, and it didn't work.
No,
it was so odd. I could not get used to it, and
leave it to the professionals, kid.
I like the look. I was fine with the look and the style of Hook, but his voice threw me off the entire film. It was bad acting. Did not like it.
I just wish his hand got bit off.
Yeah, and that's the sad thing is that Pan was set up for a sequel the way they ended it.
It was so freaking stupid.
Yeah,
I didn't like it.
So I think we can both agree that the plot line, more or less, we're not going to worry about that. We're just going to get in and just summarize our different thoughts and points. I actually think that right from the beginning of the movie, we have the orphanage where he's at. Well, Amanda Seyfried just drops him off for whatever reason. But at the beginning of the movie, we see the orphanage, and then he finds the letter. But
it feels like Annie.
Yeah.
Feel like you're watching Annie for the first like few while.
You're waiting for them to start breaking out in song. It's a hard knock life. But the orphanage is actually in lieu with the pirates.
Yeah, what?
That doesn't make any sense to me, first of all.
No sense.
Like, what, do they have a secret thing going on? And does that mean Neverland does exist? So right from the get-go, you're shown that, okay, the orphanage knows that they exist, so that means Neverland exists. But then you get to Neverland, and then you have the whole scene with Blackbeard talking to Peter Pan, and Blackbeard basically states, this place is death.
Yeah, okay. Let's save that for last, because I want to talk about that in a while. Okay.
So the big theme of the movie. Okay. But I can picture another trope in my mind that I was really confused by that threw me out of the movie, was that when you get to Blackbeard, it reminisces back to the movie of Hook, where everybody sang to when Hook showed up. But in this movie, you had them singing, what was the song by Nirvana?
This Ain't Us.
This Ain't Us. And then later on, you have Blitzkrieg Bop, which makes sense because it's during the Blitzkrieg during World War II. Yeah. However, what? In Neverland? Is this real?
They had two, maybe three popular songs that they were singing. I swore I thought I heard another one, but I couldn't make out what they were saying.
Yeah, there was another. It was Blitzkrieg Bach.
After that, they had another song that they were singing, and I'm just like, I have no idea what that song is. But
I remember when they started singing, I was like, do I know this song? And I was listening more and more, and I didn't remember the title of the song, but I was like, I know this song. This is Nirvana.
Yeah.
But because of that, it threw me out of the movie, and I wasn't immersed in this world.
Yeah,
that's part of the problem. You can get away with stuff like that in some movies, but other movies it doesn't work. Not that, because you need to fit in a world that establishes itself.
It really had to.
I guess we can move on to let's say the Tiger Lily area where the tribe that claims another stupid prophecy. I'm sick of these prophecy movies.
There's a prophecy that you'll kill me.
You are the one.
You're the chosen one.
And he's given, get ready for this, people, 3 days to figure out if he's Pan. Does it remind you of any other movie? Hook. He was given three days to figure out if he was Pan. We're reusing old tropes.
Oh, jeez.
But I will give this credit. I will give the movie credit.
He can fly! He can fly!
You can fly, Peter Pan!
He had to prove he was Pan by flying, and obviously he didn't know he could do it until he knew. I really don't know how to explain it.
That's another thing.
He just knew he could fly.
The happy thought trope was poorly done, I thought, because
Blackbeard, he's like, think a happy thought, and that's how you kill someone. What?
But then they never explain it to Peter later on that he needs to think a happy thought to fly.
No, he didn't.
He's just left to figure it out on his own. It's like, stupid kid.
He just figured it out.
You think you're the prophecy? Forget it.
Like, it wasn't that, think a happy thought, I can fly when you do it, like how it was in Hook. It's like, all you need is faith, trust, and pixie dust. That's what we always knew back in the day. And then it was in Hook, it's just like, think a happy thought, and then he flew.
I mean, that's correct.
Yeah, and then this one, they don't say it.
They're just like, all right, kid, do what
you want. It's like, prove to us you're the Pan, fly. It's like, I don't know how. It's like, figure it out.
Is there a manual to this movie?
Yeah, and then at the very end, he knew he could fly after he knew he could fly, but they never explain how he knew he could fly. I was so freaking confused. It just happened.
Because the power of magic is stronger with kids. Kurt's face is like, I'm bruh.
I'm done. But no.
I'm going to move on to where Tiger Lily comes in, because the tribe scene, again, to me, that was the visual style that I did like of this movie. They reminisced, again, back to the Hook movie, but at the same time...
Rufio! Rufio! Rufio!
I was waiting for that their main tribal fighter. I was waiting for them to call him Rufio, but they didn't.
I know.
Which kind of upset me. But the drums and Hook flying around, that's what I expected from this movie. And for that, the visual style, I'll give the movie credit. It was decent. And in that sense, it did work. The flying ships, I was entertained. I was entertained with that stuff. Man, I can't even think of where I want to go next with this, because it's just...
The visual arts. Okay, like the memory tree. Okay, it was a stupid idea, but the artwork was really freaking cool.
Okay, yes, I do remember that.
The CG was good. It was really unique.
Yeah,
that and in the water. when he ducked his head, and they were just like, it's memory water. It's like a memory ocean. They have memories. You can see
because
what
you're
happened.
In a mystical land.
Yeah, because you're in a mystical land and everything's memories. I don't know. We have a memory tree. We also have memory water. Did you hear about our memory air?
Did you see this man's face? You look at his face, you remember things. My God, the priest.
But seriously, like it didn't make sense, but the actual CG was actually really good.
You see this taco? It's a memory taco.
It's a memory taco. Seriously, like like, why? Okay, because earlier, like, she was like, we have the memory tree where you see our past memories. And it's like, oh, we also have the, like, when you go into the water,
yeah.
Like, the mermaids let you remember memories. Why don't you just go back to the tree?
Can someone just slap the kid and tell him you're the Pan? Just get into it.
Just get over it.
You're getting
whatever.
Into this because
yeah,
of plot.
You're him. It's whatever. Because plot.
Okay, so again, let's move on with other visuals. There's the crocodile, of course, which, you know, that wasn't bad. It was enough excitement. And then you have the mermaids, of course, which is all played by the gorgeous Cara Delevingne, who will be in Suicide Squad. Even moving on to the end, with Tinkerbell first showing up.
Oh, God, what?
That upset me.
It was stupid.
It was so brief. It was just like, you think for the relationship that we all know that they have, you think Tinkerbell would have been there from the beginning, and she wasn't. She showed up at the end because plot. And at the end,
because
it's like,
plot.
This one's called Tinkerbell, and she's telling me this.
It's like, really?
Really? Are you serious? Really? That was an upsetting thing to me as well. But then... Okay, let's get into the big tone that Kurt wants to talk about.
Well, one last thing we both agreed we were kind of pissed off about that they didn't have in the movie is the shadow.
I love the shadow. I think the shadow is a good trope.
It's part of Peter Pan.
Yes.
It's a big part of Peter Pan, and they didn't have it at all.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
That was upsetting to me as well.
But whatever.
So let's get into the tone. The tone of the film, if you don't know the story of J.M. Barrie, the whole tone of the film is that when they say this is where a kid goes that will never die or will never grow up, it's because the real life story is based on that his brother?
Mm-hmm.
His brother died in the lake.
What?
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh.
No. Okay.
Well, then never mind. Forget what I said.
For those of you who don't know the real story of Peter Pan, here's the real story of Peter Pan. And yes, this is going to ruin a lot of your childhoods. The real story of Peter Pan was that during the Blitzkrieg in World War II, all these children in the orphanages were not being evacuated. So what would happen when the bombing runs happened, they blew up the buildings and killed all the kids in the orphanages.
Mm-hmm.
But as a bedtime story, the caretakers of the orphanages, they would actually tell the story of this character called Peter Pan, who was an angel who would take them to a wonderful place called Neverland where they would never grow up.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically heaven for children. They were literally making Peter Pan an angel. That's why he
could
fly.
Makes sense.
And he never grew up. And all these kids, they would never grow up either. Because you die at the exact moment of what age you were. And it makes sense. Now, in this movie, they also kind of have that tone for a moment. For a moment.
There's multiple moments, actually.
Okay, yeah, like, multiple moments. Like, when Blackbeard comes in and he's like, did you ever fall into a dark sleep? One you think you can't wake up on. Into a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then that dream becomes your reality. Yeah, that's what this place is.
It's death.
It's like, so it's death. And he goes, no, it's not death.
Yeah, and then, more or less, that's what it is. And that's where I'm confused with the different ways the plot goes, because it's like, okay.
You're like, okay, it's death. Okay, it's not death. Okay, it's death. Wait, what? And then, plus, you have to think about why would Blackbeard need rejuvenating the fairy's dust to stay alive if it's death?
Right, he wants to live forever.
It makes no sense.
He wants to live forever in the fairy kingdom because he has a chance. Well, yeah, like I just said, he wants to live forever. But if this is death, why is he trying to live forever in
exactly. it? Exactly. It makes no sense. Like, they need to figure out what plot they were going toward. Like, what style they were going to go for. Is it death or is it a fantasy world? Choose one. Don't try to blend the two unless you know how to blend the two.
Right. Even in the movie Hook, they played on it a little bit better. Now there were some missteps, but Hook played it a lot better than this movie did. At least with that one, they kept playing, is he drunk? Is he just knocked down in the house? And you don't really know. But with this one, I really don't know.
Like, you're really just like, huh? Like,
so, all in all, this movie was just not that good. It was fun. For the listeners, your kids are going to love it.
Yeah, they might. Your kids are going to enjoy that. Because if you look at the original Hook movie, you think about the plot. The plot's kind of silly.
It really is.
Hook's plan is to make his kids love him instead of his Peter Pan.
It is kind of stupid.
It's silly, but we grew up with it.
Hook was a good movie, though. It was actually really good.
Dustin Hoffman.
Finally.
How did I forget Dustin Hoffman's name?
Finally. It took you a while. Took you almost, 30 minutes?
No.
20 minutes?
We've been talking about this for 15.
Oh, wow.
All right. But Dustin Hoffman and Robin Williams, you can't beat that cast. With this cast, Hugh Jackman? Yeah, I'm okay with Hugh Jackman, but Garrett Hedlund? Really? Mm. You could have done better.
And just not Blackbeard. Use someone else. Don't use Blackbeard.
Yeah, I agree with Kurt, though. Ultimately, your kids will enjoy this. But you will not. You probably won't.
It's just fun. That's all it is.
It works.
That's all it was.
But it's easily forgettable.
You could easily just rent it and have your kid watch it and be like, oh my God, I freaking love this movie. And then you're just like, oh God, I'm going to have to watch it again. that's how like Sean and Emma are with their, because they were saying about they've watched the movie Cars like 100 times because Revan freaking loved it.
I can't watch that movie once.
You will literally watch this movie going, okay. And then once your kid loves it, you're just like, oh God, I have to watch it again. Why? That's kind of how you feel after watching this movie. It's really bad.
All right.
It's really not bad.
All right, then let's get into our Ask the Nerd segment, and we actually have a shout out.
Yay!
Thank you, guys. That's exactly what we asked for. So this is from my buddy I used to work with, Justin Hubler.
Yay!
Thank you, Justin.
Justin, I don't know you.
Sorry. So his question for us is, who, in your opinion, is the worst comic book hero ever?
All right. I'm just going to... Okay, first you go, and then I'll say the dumbest one.
So I have two in my mind. I thought of Power Girl right off the bat.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What? Hey.
Yeah.
I was going to say it.
Oh, well, we both thought it then.
We both thought. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe that's it then, because we both thought the same thing.
Okay. I think we're just going to call it It's Power Girl. Because, for those... I remember the one day I looked up... Because I was looking up other characters. I was looking up worst superheroes or like worst weaknesses and stuff like that. Now, Power Girl, her weakness...
Not saying that she's not a bad hero. She goes out and she saves the day.
She is the cousin to Kal-El in another universe. So she's Supergirl in another universe.
Correct.
Now, in her universe, her weakness is unprocessed minerals.
So get ready for this, people.
Ready yourselves. She can dodge a bullet. She can have a train run into her, and she can stop it dead on. But when you come up to her with a stick, you can beat her to death with it.
A roll of boulder.
Roll a boulder all over her. Just take a rock and beat her on the head. She will die.
That's the dumbest weakness. But it
literally
is what it is.
Unprocessed minerals.
Now... Okay, so I think we're both kind of agreeing on Power Girl, but there are other ones, of course, that we could go down. I thought of Matter Eater Lad from the Legion,
yes.
Which he just eats steel.
That's his power. That's all he really does.
So if he can survive hunger.
He can eat matter, but, I mean, it's weird.
Can you just imagine, though, you come home one day if you live with Matter Eater Lad, like, dude, where's the couch? I was hungry.
Okay, and plus, I thought of another one, like... those of you who know the little short story where Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four, he became a very famous character called Bombastic Bagman, which was he's one of my favorites and one of the stupidest characters I've ever heard. It was when he lost his powers and he joined the Fantastic Four. He, for some reason, he had no shoes as well. at that moment. He couldn't find a mask, he couldn't find shoes, and he put a bag on his head.
So he's so he's pretty much a hobo down the street. Like, if you're walking down the street, you're giving him money.
And he joined the Fantastic Four. I mean, he ended up getting his powers later, and he actually could, because he still could fight. Like, he was still good in a fight and everything, but he didn't have powers. And, like, he also did have powers later, so it's confusing. But the Bombastic Bagman, it's just what?
Exactly.
It was Spider-Man, but just what?
How about Squirrel Girl from Marvel?
Oh, God. Oh, geez. Just squirrel. Like, why?
Exactly.
Like, it makes
squirrel
no sense.
Girl. Anything else you can think of from DC?
I forget what the character's actual name is. It was like Gas Man or something, but all he does is like fart.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. It was like a character who.
Wherein? Like Legion?
No, it was DC.
I get that.
Yeah,
but where?
I swear it was DC. Like, all he does is like he creates noxious gas from his body, and he's a huge giant fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically excretes gas.
Fat man and boy blubber.
Like, it was, I don't know where I read it, but it was somewhere, and it was so stupid. But
I'm curious to know more.
Yeah, like there are some really stupid characters. Plus, we talked about a long time ago in one of our previous episodes about Sheep Boy.
Yeah, Sheep Boy.
Oh my god. Like, it's just, there are some times where they create stupid characters.
Like they sometimes make
fun of them too.
I don't even think they get lazy, but it almost is like they get lazy. They're just like, I don't know, want to make a boy, half boy, half sheep? Sure, go with it.
Sure, why not? Just do it.
It's a slow day. Whatever.
Well, it was an alternate universe where Spider-Man was bit by a sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that? And then he became a sheep boy. So, I mean, like, there's really stupid characters.
So many possibilities. But for some reason, we keep going to Power Girl. So I guess we're just going to say Power Girl. But the honorable mentions are everything else we talked about. You could easily pinpoint whichever one you want there. They're all pretty bad.
So that's it.
That's right. Thank you for your question, Justin Hubler. And thank you all for listening in, folks. You probably already know how to reach us. But if you don't know how, here's how. You can follow us on Podomatic.com or through iTunes on the podcast app. Like our Facebook page, please.
Follow our Twitter.
I go through the monologue. Get involved. Give us comments or suggestions because our show is shaped by you. Or ask a question for our Ask the Nerds. If we pick it, you'll get a shout out, just like Justin did. If you use iTunes, do us a favor and give us a rating and review. We haven't gotten any yet. And as always, don't forget to share our podcast with your friends because we need to spread the nerdiness. Next week, you know what? I'll let Doc Brown tell you when our next episode will air. Tell him, Doc.
At 4:29 p.m. on Wednesday, October 21st, 2015.
That's right. We are in the future, folks, and we will be doing a special review of the Back to the Future trilogy. Woo!
Sorry.
Will you get that excited when I tell you it's time for the fun fact of the day? So guess what, Kurt?
What?
Did you know that?
I know what?
That fairy dust in the Peter Pan story was added later for health and safety reasons.
What?
Yeah. Originally, Peter and the Lost Boys could fly unaided, but after several reports of children injuring themselves attempting to fly from their beds, J.M. Barrie, the writer of Peter Pan, added fairy dust as a necessary factor for flying. But you see
can you
that.
Imagine all those kids just trying to fly, and they're just like, "I can fly!" Boom.
Ew.
On the floor.
Now you see, yes, it is fairy dust for kids to fly, but for adults, it's acid.
Yes.
Kurt, what do we tell the folks?
From all of us here at Just Nerd Stuff, remember to stay nerdy, universe.